Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness. Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 423. I'm Amy Matheny, and happy Pride, everyone. I hope you survived the festivities and didn't get too sunburned because the sun was shining, lots of people pouring out into the streets, and it was either the best of times or worst of times, no matter how you look at it. The morning started off with me getting a phone call very early in the morning from our good friend Chuck Hyde over at Sidetrack Bar. And he really broke the story to us, which we then broke the story around a little before 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, that many of the tires from about dozens, from about 30 to 40 floats that were headed for the Pride Parade, had their tires slashed in an attempt, one would assume, to stop the parade or sabotage the Gay Pride Parade this year. It's the first time that the people from Associated Attractions down on Chicago's South Side had said that that had ever happened before, the number of parades that they've been doing since the late 1980s. And luckily, no one was harmed in that sabotage or attempted sabotage, and tires were repaired. Some people went on without their floats, and some waited and got the tires fixed and replaced, and the parade went on. The parade was a very long parade and also a very crowded parade, and I think we're going to have to see if new solutions come, because there's been so many complaints about the congestion and now the police barricades and what that does in terms of wedging in people who were 10, 12, 15 deep, smashed between the buildings along the streets on Halsted and Broadway and the barricades, barring them from the actual street path. And it leaves it not being a very fun and festive environment, I have to say. Obviously, you can find some areas perhaps where it is not as congested, but there are so many people showing up for the parade every year, and that's fantastic, that this is becoming a critical problem. So big challenge out there to the parade organizers next year to find some solutions. Do we need to make this parade route longer? Could the parade potentially start in Lakeview and end up in Andersonville? There are some solutions here, and I think we ought to start addressing them as a city and the organizers of the Pride Parade. But the big news leading into the entire weekend was the decision at the top of the weekend, late into the night on Friday night, of New York approving same-sex marriage. And truly, this is a victory for Governor Cuomo and many, many people, many organizations, the marriage initiatives that went on with celebrities and sports celebrities and television celebrities and film celebrities and people of recognizable name lending their name to advertising campaigns and videos saying that they supported marriage in New York. And they got it done, folks. They did get it done. And I hope that that becomes a template for other states, because as we led into the weekend, of course, the controversy surrounding Barack Obama and what he had said or had denied, he says, or now is staying mute on what he said about his support of same-sex marriage, to a survey to our sister newspaper, Windy City Times, in a survey back during his run for the Senate here in Illinois. And I think that Obama's behind the curve on this, as I've said before, and I hope that with what's happening in New York and what continues to be motivation across this country, that he will get ahead of the curve and be a leader on that. Also, big stories about Afghanistan and pulling troops out, and that too will impact our gay and lesbian service members who have been fighting valiantly with those efforts in Afghanistan. It's a show today that really continues to help a conversation come to life and come to stage about a dichotomy between being queer and being Muslim. Growing up under the banner of Islam and being queer in the United States, and how does one marry or bring together both aspects of that identity to oneself. And I'm very happy to have on the show Daima Mubashir, who is going to talk today about a show she's been working on and bringing just that story to life through a number of different characters in a one-woman performance art show that she has coming up for a couple performances this Thursday and the following Thursday. And we're heading into a big 4th of July weekend, another holiday weekend. The gays, we get two in a row here. With Pride weekend and now 4th of July weekend. So the parties will continue here in the Windy City. And there's lots of theater going on, lots of great shows to see. The Homosexuals continues to get fantastic reviews. And next week I'll be talking with the openly lesbian director of Chinglish down at the Goodman, which combines the identities of Americans and the Chinese and working together across those two countries in a way of commerce and communication. So a very interesting conversation with Lee Silverman, one of the few women to have her name up as director of a Broadway show. And at the time that she was directing Lisa Crohn's Well on Broadway, I believe she was the youngest director as well to be a Broadway director. So pretty amazing conversation with a very exciting lesbian, out lesbian in the world of national theater here in Chicago at the Goodman. It's a big show. I'll be back with so much after this.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News.
New York made history late on June 25th as the state Senate approved a same-sex marriage measure by a vote of 33-29. The other house, the Assembly, passed the bill last week for the fourth time since 2007. New York now joins Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Iowa, and Washington, D.C. as the only states that legally recognize gay marriage. Governor Andrew Cuomo signed it 90 minutes after it passed, so gay and lesbian couples can begin marrying in New York on July 24th.
Despite a statement by President Barack Obama's White House Communications Director Dan Pfeiffer, June 17th, that a 1996 survey response was not written by the then candidate for the Illinois State Senate, Windy City Times newspaper stands by the reporting on Obama's early support of gay marriage in at least two surveys. These surveys were from a 1996 response to Outlines newspaper, which now owns and publishes Windy City Times, and Impact, a now defunct gay political action committee.
In Indiana, Valparaiso University student Tia Colossa believes that she was removed from a leadership position because she's a lesbian. Colossa, age 19, was elected to a seat on the student senate, but was subsequently removed. A university spokesman said she was ousted because the seat is reserved for someone representing a racial or ethnic minority, adding that if Colossa runs for an at-large seat and wins, it's fine for her to serve.
Under intense scrutiny over his endorsement of a corporate merger between AT&T and T-Mobile, Jarrett Berrios, president of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, or GLAAD, has resigned. The resignation follows a firestorm of bad press over a letter Berrios sent to the Federal Communications Commission on May 31st, urging the approval of a merger between AT&T and T-Mobile. The letter raised eyebrows by many who questioned if AT&T bought Berrios' support for the merger with a recent $50,000 donation to GLAAD.
Immigration Equality has called on the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, to broaden and clarify the definition of family and spouse used in a June 17th memo to ICE field offices, special agents, and counsel. The memo, which outlines cases in which ICE officials should exercise discretion when prioritizing who should be targeted for removal from the U.S., does not specifically include lesbian and gay spouses or partners, despite earlier correspondence indicating those families would be given such considerations.
In New Jersey, Al-Rashim Chambers has been indicted on charges of bias, intimidation, and murder in the 2010 death of transgender woman Victoria Carmen White. Last September, White was dancing with her cousin when she met Chambers and Marquise Foster. They all went to the cousin's apartment, and an altercation led to White being shot several times. Authorities believe Chambers killed White after learning the lingerie model was transgender.
A Southwest Airlines pilot was suspended after he accidentally broadcast using anti-gay slurs and other demeaning comments to describe some flight attendants. On March 23rd, an unidentified pilot was speaking to someone else when his mic became stuck. The remarks ranged from homophobic to derogatory. Southwest suspended the pilot without pay, and he has received diversity education. Also, the pilot, who is back on the job, has apologized to the airline and the Federal Aviation Administration.
In Arkansas, the newspaper, the Bates Daily Guard, has apologized and agreed to reprint a gay man's obituary after omitting his partner's name. When John McMillan died June 11th, his partner of 10 years, Terrence James, filled out paperwork to have the obit run in the Guard. However, the publication left out James's name but listed McMillan's deceased parents and surviving siblings, with whom he reportedly had little contact.
In Wisconsin, lesbian Methodist pastor the Reverend Amy DeLong is going to be penalized for officiating a same-sex wedding. DeLong never denied the action, which set a church trial in motion. A jury of clergy convicted her on June 22nd. She was found not guilty of another charge of being a self-avowed practicing homosexual. DeLong could be defrocked or suspended.
In New Jersey, Republican Governor Chris Christie said that he opposes a marriage equality bill that openly gay Assemblyman Reed Guscoria has introduced into the state legislature. New Jersey currently recognizes civil unions.
In Pennsylvania, a bill that would require voters to produce a government-issued photo each time they go to the polls could be a tricky situation for members of the transgender community. Those undergoing a gender transition or whose gender presentation may not match the gender marker on their IDs could face problems which could discourage people from voting.
In world news, a United States couple celebrated Nepal's first public lesbian wedding ceremony on June 20th. The Himalayan country recently began recognizing gay rights. Courtney Mitchell, 41, and Sarah Welton, 48, from Denver, Colorado, celebrated in a Hindu-Nepalese tradition at a temple south of the capital of Kathmandu. Same-sex marriages are not legal in Nepal.
In France, transgender woman Brigitte Goldberg, leader of the party Avenir 2012, hopes to run for president of the country. Goldberg has to obtain 500 signatures before declaring herself a candidate.
In Ireland, independent Senator David Norris, a top contender to become the first out gay president of the country, said he is the victim of a smear campaign. Norris said that in an old interview in which he seems to express support for classic pedophilia, as practiced by the Greeks, is being resurrected. Although he is currently a frontrunner, experts believe it could be chaotic to have his name associated with the word pedophilia. Elections will be held in October.
Approximately 40 gay and lesbian couples exchanged vows under Brazil's new law in an effort to set a new world record for a mass same-sex wedding. The country's federal Supreme Court legally recognized same-sex partnerships in May.
In entertainment news, parody musician Weird Al Yankovic has now taken on Lady Gaga. Yankovic has made a video of his song Perform This Way, a take on Gaga's Born This Way. The video shows him spoofing all of Gaga's famous looks, including the meat dress she wore at an award show last year, with his head superimposed on a woman's body. Proceeds from the song and video go to the Human Rights Campaign.
Out Bravo executive Andy Cohen is reportedly one of three candidates who may replace Regis Philbin on the daytime syndicated show Live with Regis and Kelly. The other two candidates are American Idol host Ryan Seacrest and Kelly Ripa's husband Mark Consuelos.
James Franco, who played gay in such movies as Milk and Howl, has written, starred in, and directed a film on the life of gay poet Hart Crane. The black and white movie is called The Broken Tower, named for one of Crane's last publications, and it features graphic sex scenes, as well as Crane reading a poem out loud for 10 minutes. The poet killed himself in 1932 at the age of 32.
After being ordered to attend court June 23rd for testing positive for alcohol, Judge Stephanie Sautner ruled that Lindsay Lohan will not go to jail. Sautner said that Lohan had not violated the terms of her probation. However, the judge ruled that the actress will be restricted to inviting only one friend at a time to her home as long as she is under house arrest.
Reggae singer Buju Banton, whom gay rights groups have vilified because of his anti-gay songs, was sentenced to 10 years in prison for his role in a Florida cocaine deal. Banton, who is 37, was convicted in February of organizing a drug deal and has been in custody since December 2009. Banton will also get 5 years of probation after his jail time.
Stephen Baldwin has said that Tom Cruise's singing in the big screen musical Rock of Ages is intergalactic and that Cruise's singing voice will pleasantly surprise audiences. The musical, directed by openly gay Adam Shankman and slated for release next June, also stars Catherine Zeta-Jones and Russell Brand. Cruise will portray Stacey Jacks.
And openly gay actor John Barrowman said that viewers should expect man sex and nudity in the next season of the sci-fi series Torchwood. Barrowman, who is 44 and who plays the omnisexual Captain Jack Harkness, revealed, "I'm naked in one episode. I am full-on naked. I am bumping and grinding in this one. I am having man sex." Torchwood, Miracle Day, will premiere on Stars on July 8th. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
A singer goes on singing like a song is her best friend.
Hi, this is Linda Etter, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Here's the rainbow.
Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 27th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Main stage is Chicago's hottest new Northside venue. Don't miss upcoming shows at Main Stage, including comedian Jeff Pardo, swing band Big Bad Voodoo Daddy and John Mayall, and the Blues Breakers. Enjoy live music in the pub every Tuesday with no cover. Check out mainstage.com. That's MAYNE stage.com for details. Main Stage, all the shows you love, all on one stage.
Say it loud and proud, I'm with the homosexuals. About Face Theater presents The Homosexuals by Philip Dawkins, running now through July 24th at Victory Gardens Richard Christensen Theater. Garnering critical praise, 3 stars from the Chicago Tribune, and audience laughs. This hilarious and heartwarming play is for anyone who's ever fallen in love with a friend. Get your tickets now to The Homosexuals at aboutfacetheater.com.
Melodies and Mayhem fill the stage at Chicago Shakespeare Theater in Murder for Two, the killer new musical that delivers fun to die for, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. A hilarious whodunit featuring two virtuoso performances, as one actor investigates a crime, the other plays all 13 suspects, and both play the piano. For more, visit chicagoshakes.com.
Looking for comedy, fashion, and catfights? Well, The Real Housewives have nothing of the ladies of Circle Theater's production of the witty 1930s comedy The Women, playing now through August 14th. For more information or to order tickets to The Women, go to circle-theater.org. Sharpen your claws. These ladies don't play fair.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com. Artist playwright Daima Mubashir has spent many years exploring Islamic religiosity and queer identity, and both of them come together in a new show that she is premiering in its world premiere, The Untangling at the Junction at the Prop Theater, the next couple of Thursdays, and we want all of you to know about it. And also, I just think it's really interesting over the years that I've been in radio to speak with Muslim-born, queer-identified people, and especially an artist, and then how they navigate that with their art. So I'm so honored to have Daima here on the show. Hey, Daima, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good to be with you, Amy.
Thank you. To be with you. And I know you're right here on top of your shows. And I imagine very excited after what has been a really long process to create new work.
Yes, this has kind of been a year in the making, although I was able to put up a little workshop piece of it in Houston, Texas, back in September, but this will be the full piece as it is now. Yeah, it's been a long process, lots of writing and performing bits and pieces here and there, but it's all coming together now.
So where were you born? Where did you grow up?
Well, I was actually born in Birmingham, but I did grow up and spend a lot of my life in Houston, Texas.
Yeah. So was that? I mean, what was it like growing up Muslim in Houston, Texas?
Well, you know, at first, I think on the first go round, I would say it was very, very hard. However, now that I'm doing this piece and really reinvestigating what Islam means to me, I'm finding more and more beauty in it and more and more substance that actually like makes up who I am and my morals and values, and which I really honor today. And so I'm really glad to be doing this because I'm finding stuff that I kind of brushed aside for a long time. Like after I came out as queer or lesbian or whatever, I kind of pushed Islam to the side because I didn't feel like the two would fit in the same box, so to say.
Yeah.
And being Muslim very scared me because I knew I was gay and I knew that there was nothing that I could do about it. But now, going back, I think that there is a place where I can be both. I can be Muslim. If I want to take on the prayer ritual, if I want to take on, you know, eating habits or a certain mode of dress, I think I can do that. And I'm seeing now, like it's 2011 now, I'm seeing like different scholars, Amina Wajud and Ishrad Manji, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, that are like openly queer and openly writing and talking about ways that we can rethink about Islam. And I want to be a part of that because I think Islam is beautiful and it's a way of thinking, it's a way of being in your life, and it's a way of being with other people that I want to embrace again, you know?
When did you know you were gay?
I must have been 16, 17, like last senior year of high school. And, you know, there was this girl, we were friends, and then one thing led to another, and then I ended up moving in with her, you know, classic tale. Classic. So, yeah, and at that time, it was kind of hard. my, you know, that was a breaking point with my parents. Mm-hmm. When I came out, and you know, I don't think that they were, it was like, what, 1991, they were unable to understand at that time. And since then, like, those, my mom is completely supportive, well, in her own way, supportive mm-hmm. of me being gay, and it doesn't matter now, you know, and she even supports this project that I'm doing, which is really, really beautiful. But mm-hmm. back then, it was, there was a break. There was, you know, a lot of words.
Right.
So to say, yes.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because when we come out, we have been growing toward the moment when we come out, and then our parents, that moment kind of starts the minute we say we're out, and we've done all this kind of, you know, self-discovery and acceptance, and now we're going to tell like our parents, and they're just out of the gate, you know, when we stand,
yeah.
sit across from them and say this. So it makes sense that there would be a break for a while for the parents to catch up often, I think.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that you immediately, as an artist, as a playwright, as a performer, did you immediately think this semi-autobiographical or entirely autobiographical content might be something that you wanted to explore in your art?
Not at all. I did not. In fact, I've been knowing that, you know, that I grew up Muslim and knowing that I'm gay, and those things really don't fit together in a way that we can see in this world today. I mean, like, as clear as I can see it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think about this as mineable work until last year, when a friend of mine, who I think you know, Megan Carney, like, we were sitting around talking. She's like, why aren't you talking about this? Why aren't you working on this? And it was like a huge light bulb. Like, I don't know. I've never thought about it like that. And then I started to like, absolutely, I'm going to start now.
Yeah. Megan Carney, of course, for many of our listeners may know, was one of the originators and creators of the About Face Youth Theater, and now teaches in gender studies and queer studies at Columbia,
UIC.
Right? UIC. That's right. UIC.
UIC.
Yeah.
So, no, it was just a little conversation, and it's like, maybe that seed was there, but she was definitely a person to, like, flip the switch for me, which I'm really grateful for. Because, you know, some of those things are so hard to think about and unimaginable when they're too close to you that I
right.
think now I'm able to step back and really take a look and be okay with it. And, like, it's scary to think about bringing this to the public and facing whatever is going to be needed to face, like mm-hmm. people, places, and things that may not agree, whatever. But I feel like I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is my deal now.
Yeah. You get to reclaim it. Well, obviously I can imagine a lot of drama is what dramatic potential is probably what Megan Carney saw in
right.
aspects of your life story. Tell me what is the untangling at the junction? And who are some of the characters that we are going to meet?
What is untangling? The Untangling at the Junction is really a play / performance art piece. There's movement. I'm bringing together a couple of disciplines using, like, you know, regular theater, thinking about Michael Chekhov and also the Buteau style movement to create this back and forth to express the conflict of bringing these two identities together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically, you know, 45 minute ish performance where I play five characters. Nicole is the main character who grew up gay and is now investigating Islam. There's Afifa, who is a very, 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 very devout Muslim. There is Chad, who's the engineer. So there's two locations. There's one is the Junction, is this audio store
mm-hmm.
where, I don't want to give too much away, but Junction
yeah, yeah.
is audio store where Chad and Afifa and Belly and Devonda work. And so those are the other four characters. They kind of, when Nicole walks in the junction with needing some help, they all kind of help her in a way, or like there's this huge conversation and back and forth about what Nicole needs to untangle. And you have to be at the show to see what needs to be untangled, but I'm sure you can put it together. But anyway, so yeah, so that's kind of what happens. I hope that was clear.
Yeah. So you're portraying in the same way as like a Lily Tomlin or an Anna Deavere Smith, various characters. It's, I mean, a solo performance for you.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely everybody.
And are these characters based on people that you evoked from your own life or representations, or how did these five voices come to you?
You know, these are not specific people in my life. Not at all. These characters came out of my work with my director, Sarah Graywhit, when we were doing exercises through the work of Michael Chekhov to sort of just find the piece, find new ways to look at the piece. And in our exercises, I started to see that there was these different people and that there was these different characters that had different words and different movement and tones of voices. And so that's how the five characters were developed. And I started to see that, like, there's different ways that people can look at this conflict of gay identity and Islamic identity. And so I think that's where the five characters came from. It's just that work in Chekhov.
Mm-hmm. And you expressed that your mom is supportive and that you grew up primarily in Houston. Did she see your work when you were in Houston unveiling a little bit of it? And what was her feedback to her or family members or people in Houston?
You know, after the performance, there were tears in her eyes. And I mean, she said to me, "I am so proud of you. You are so talented." And I mean, some of it was funny. She was like, "You didn't have to tell the truth. You didn't have to tell the truth like that." Tell everybody. But no, she's been very supportive of this project, even so much as, like, I took a little trip to do some research a few weeks ago, and she, you know, she's like, "I like to pay for this trip for you to just help you out with that." And I'm like, you know, I'm just, you know, a new emerging artist, so like funds aren't flowing in just yet. But so that was like, it was a real big sign that she's putting her money where her mouth is. She supports me.
Yeah. Well, and what do you think the current climate is for queer Muslim people? I mean, how do we bridge the gap? And you mentioned a couple of women that you are learning from who have been inspirational to you, but perhaps, you know, what is the climate you think for just the man and woman, you know, straddling both of those lines?
You know, I think it's both exciting and there's a lot of possibilities. I think that people are, I think it's a time, but I also think this is also a time where people are still not going to be ready. There's going to still be like an uphill kind of road. I know that there's, you know, I get little news feeds via Twitter and stuff about, you know, people being ostracized and people not being treated right. So I don't think that this is like smooth roads ahead. I think the climate is still very rocky. And I think overall there's not an acceptance of queer or lesbian or gay or any of that. Really, there's spots. You know, in Toronto and little New York, you can find like masjids in different places, but it's not prevalent. It's very, very small. The website is, you know, there's one or two organizations that have like poorly kept up websites, but that's about it.
Right.
So we're at the, I feel like this is a very much a beginning.
Right. And you're talking about domestic, you know, so it doesn't even begin to uncover. And I know that's not part of your story. And so you're really utilizing your perspective and lens as a U.S. American Muslim and not, you know, someone from an Islamic country who happens to be queer, which is a, you know, a whole different perspective, a whole different lens. And obviously there are so many human relations and protection organizations trying to do work in those Islamic countries, but still seems to be a place where mining tolerance and safeties for, you know, people who happen to be queer and happen to be Muslim is, you know, intense. It's an intense environment for those individuals. And I would imagine that being able to see a performance or a play like yours would be pretty powerful. Have you thought about putting aspects of it up on the web so it could actually access people in other countries?
Absolutely. Like, and that's part of the reason why I'm doing the two performances, as just to get it on its feet. And I'm definitely planning to videotape both performances and edit a small trailer for all kinds of uses, but definitely to put online and to start to build more work on top of that.
Right.
So that, you know, I don't know, maybe I will find other people to work with. Actually, in this whole process, I have met other queer Muslims who are practice Muslim even more so than I do, like way more than I do, and they're practicing Muslims, but they have their queer identity and they're closeted, and or they just, you know, they live their lives as they can, and I know that, like, the people are going to start coming out of the woodworks, and I just going to keep putting myself out there, and, like, I'm sure the story will, other people's stories will start to get more.
Right.
You know, people get, I know there's also a documentary that is being made, and right now I'm not in front of it, but yeah, so there's little lights on the horizon coming up.
So how important has the prop theater been for this kind of new work and to continue to give space to have these voices heard?
Oh my God. Prop theater is amazing. They've flung open the doors to help me get this to get off its feet. Stefan Brune, who's the manager over there, has just been absolutely amazing. And I mean, I just can't say enough about the theater. I was over there today, and they're just really generous and with making new work. I'm honored to actually be in that theater. I've seen tons and tons of work there, and it's where I get fed artistically, I think.
So you have guest performers. There are two performances this Thursday and next, June 30th and July 7th. Now, you have guest performers listed for each performance. Who are they and what are they going to be doing?
Mary Bowers and Barry Cole will be doing reading from new work that they have written on June 30th. And it's going to be... Both Mary and Barry are queer women and or lesbians, and they're going to be reading from their work, which I'm sure will have some sort of that kind of theme.
Yep.
On July 7th, a good friend of mine, Olivia Dawson, is going to be doing a portion of her one-woman show, which will going to be more focused on African-American themes. I haven't seen it just yet, but I'm really excited about it because she's a fantastic actor. Mm-hmm. I've seen her in Lee Blessing's Going to St. Ives, so I'm really excited to see her perform her own work coming up. So, and that's another thing about Untangling at the Junction. It's really about African-American Muslims in the United States and a little bit about the history of that. So that's why I wanted to have Olivia Dawson at the start of the other show, because this is also about being Black in America.
Yeah.
As well. Anyway. Yeah.
It is interesting, right? Because we have all these lenses and you have you know, the lens of being a woman, the lens of being an African-American woman, of being a Muslim born woman, and then in that faith, and then identifying as queer, you know, at the age of 16. So such a rich lens through which you have been given a view of the world, Daima. It's very good that you're sharing that with all of us. And there are just two shows. So I strongly encourage people to get your tickets. Make your plans to attend either of these shows, Thursday, June 30th and Thursday, July 7th. We will have Daima's website linked on our show notes, or you can go to the Prop Theater's website, which we can also link. And it's only $12. And how generous is that to let us experience a portion of your life for $12? Cash only, so show up and help support the Untangling at the Junction. And these other artists that, Daima, you have generously also brought into your space, Mary Bowers, Barry Cole, and Olivia Dawson on those following nights. The Prop Theater's at 3502 North Elston Avenue in Chicago. All shows do begin at 7:30, so be sure to get there early or call for reservations or email for reservations, and all that information is at the website. Daima, break a leg, and we can't wait to hear more of your story.
Thank you, Amy.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everyone, happy 4th of July. I hope you have a wonderful holiday weekend. Surely it will be a long weekend for many of us, and hopefully safe and healthy, and make us feel the gratitude we have for living in this great country and the people who help fight and serve to protect us over this 4th of July holiday weekend. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.